Tonight, we want to tie some things together, and we've been preaching a whole lot lately on godly or ungodly. How many knows anything that's got to do with God, it has to be godly because He's God. So God created man in a godly fashion. We want to tie in some things tonight. In Genesis chapter 1, we're going to tie in Adam when God created him, and then we want to, in the middle of the Bible, we want to tie in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 18. And then over in the other part of the Bible, we want to tie in St. John chapter 3, about you must be born again. See, these things are all fit in the Bible, and if we have to, I don't know how I'll do with this, but God's kind of dealing with my heart to deal with this. And we'll quote a few scriptures here. First, godly, of course, naturally from God. And man can get away from God, and he's very ungodly. And so I want to start out here with Titus chapter 1. Let's go to Titus chapter 1 here, and we won't have time to get into all this, but Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and to the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. After godliness. Now, then we want to get into another part of here, of Titus here, and that's over in chapter 2, verse 11. Now, Titus was left in Crete to set in order the things that were wanting. And the things we find out that had to be set in order was the things that were ungodly. The homes were ungodly. The people were ungodly. And Titus was set there to do that. Now, we find that he says here in second chapter of Titus, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, they should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Now, Paul is giving this message here to Titus what to do. And he's teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that they should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Somebody said it can't be done. Well, then I don't know what we're going to do with those scriptures there. That's what's supposed to be done, isn't it? So we find, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and we'll just browse through that a little bit. I think I can pretty well quote that chapter, but I'll have my Bible open for a lean-to if I can. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3 said, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things," now listen to this, "that pertain to life and what? To life and godliness." Now what God gives us, it pertains to life and godliness. "According as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the what? Through that word knowledge of him that hath called us, were to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be able to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust." And then he goes on and says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." That's in there, isn't it? So we want to stop right there with that. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. See, God wants, we have to be godly people. And God wants us to be godly. Now, the first person, we're going to tie this in tonight, the first person that God created, and God created Adam and Eve, he created them in a godly manner. Image, that means image. I want you to realize what knowledge that God has put in us and the enemy. Cody, come up here just a minute. I want you to do something for me. Who is that sitting right there? How do you know? It's your family. But you've got a picture of him in your mind. How many got that? And you know this fellow right here? Josh? How do you know Josh? See, it's a picture, see? You got a picture of him, you got a picture of her, you got a picture of him, you got a picture of her, you got a picture of me. And so he's got all that knowledge on the inside of him. All that knowledge. Now, we turn all that knowledge around and turn it into the knowledge of God. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Then we begin to bring ourselves to the place that we serve God and we have this knowledge and we know what's right from wrong. We know what God's word says. You can go back and sit down now. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention that we have a picture in our mind. Now, what I'm going to preach about tonight's got something called the glass. We all with open face beholding as in a glass. What is the glass that we look into that shows us things in the Bible? What is it? Sister Buckner, hold your Bible up there. That's the glass that you look into. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, verse 18 said, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm changed into the same image. You're changed into the same image, step by step, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's a knowledge thing. He give us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the what? Let's all say it. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God has filled us up with knowledge. If we'll just accept it, if we'll just receive it, if we'll just record it in our mind and our, which is our soul, if we'll just record it in that, I'll tell you, God's give us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. Now, let's turn our Bibles real quick. Now, we've got godliness in here. And so let's just start over in Genesis. I mean, it's going to go with me to Genesis. We're going to look in the part of the looking glass that says Genesis chapter 1, verse 25, reading down a few verses. And then we're going to skip over to verse 7 in chapter 2. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. Everything's after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, notice God's making things after its kind. And God said, now he's talking to somebody, let us. Wonder who he's talking to. How many knows there's three in the Godhead? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So God is saying, let us. Let's us three. Yet they're one. Make man. And God said, let us make man in whose image? Now what is an image? We've done got into that. That's a picture. Let's make man into our image. Let's make man to look like us. Let's make man to act like us. So that would have to be godly then, wouldn't it? It had to be God. Can't be ungodly. He didn't make people in ungodly form. He made them in the beginning in a godly form. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. So God created the male and the female after the image of God in their own image, which is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And how many knows there's three parts of us? The spirit, the soul, and the body. So we have three parts of us, which is spirit, soul, and body. And each one of those things represents God himself. So he created man after his own image. Chapter 2, let's just jump over there. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of what? Life, and man became a living soul. What power of creation can we see here that God created man in his own, in his image, and then he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and this man became a living soul. Now God said you can eat everything in this garden, but you can't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You can't mix it. You've got to, you can eat every tree, of every tree, but that one you can't eat of, and the day that you eat of that, you shall surely die. So, man, eat of the tree, him and his wife, she gave him to eat of that, and he ate it, and they died. A spiritual death, not a physical death, because they were still walking around. They ran and hid from God, and that was a death spirit right there, because they knew that they had done something wrong. Conviction came upon them, and condemnation came upon them, and so they had to eat of that tree, and they ran and hid themselves, and God comes walking through the garden in the evening, as he always did before, and they were hid, and he said, Adam, where art thou? God is asking that question tonight. Adam, where art thou? And he's finding some of them, and I want us to look here. So this man hid, and this woman hid in the garden, in the trees or brush in the garden, and God said, have you eaten that tree that I told you can't eat of? Right away, they begin to accuse each other. Adam said, it was that woman that you gave me, passing the buck. And he turns to the woman and said, and what do you got to say for yourself? And she said, the devil made me do it. No one would absolutely confess the real thing. And how many knows that we repent? Acts of the Apostles 3:19 said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And God put man out of the garden. And he put an angel with a flaming sword at the gate to keep the way. Now I want you to notice, to keep the way of the tree of life. And how many knows what life is? Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. So he's the way. So what angel was put there to keep the way of the tree of life, lest man should eat of that fruit and live forever? So because it was appointed to man once to die. Hebrews 9:27 said, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's where man got the real death sentence. It was appointed to him to die. Now we're getting down into some things here. Now, I want us to turn our Bibles. God made a redemptive plan for this man. And that was that God's son would die upon the cross. And when he died upon the cross, his blood, the bloodshed, and all would free man from sin. So that, and then, now notice here, in the third chapter of the book of St. John, and this story that I'm telling here tonight from Genesis through the book of Revelation, this story is the same thing as the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15 that went away from home. And you know what the prodigal son said? Now I want you to notice what he said. He went away from home. He spent all of the things that the father had given him. He got into the hog pen. He was living in a terrible shape. And he came to himself. How many of you knows what coming to yourself is? You know, people that's out there drinking and in sin, they're just not at themselves. They're not what they're supposed to be. How many believes that God created man to be a drunk? God created man to do all this sin that's going on? No, God created man in his own image to be like him. And to see things like him, to have his mind, Philippians 2:5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're to have his mind. He put this in, he breathed in our breath, in the nostrils, the breath of life. Now the prodigal son went off away from home. Spent all he had. In the hog pen he came to himself. And he said, I know what I'll do. I will go to where? Where did he say he's going to go? I will go to my Father. Now, he's doing the right thing. How many knows God is our Father? Huh? So the prodigal son said, I will go to my father, and I will say to my father, I've sinned. Now that's repentance. I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I have sinned. And the father didn't even act like he heard him, because he already knew that he knew that he had sinned. He didn't have to say that, but he did. We don't have to say that, but we do. I've sinned. And the father said to the servant, go get the best robe and put on him. He was saying the right thing, wasn't he? Go get the best robe put on him. Go get the ring and put upon his finger. Go get the shoes and put upon his feet. And another servant, he said, you go kill the fatted calf. For my son that was lost is found. And now here's the goodie of it. And my son that was dead. How many got that? My son that was dead is alive. So that's the story of redemption and regeneration. That's the story right there. It's all in the book of Luke chapter 16, how that works. Then we come on over here in St. John chapter 3, and we see the reason of this thing. See, these all tie together. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus here, and let's go to verse 3. Nicodemus had said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with you. He said, you prove to us that you're of God. Now, in the third verse here, Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a person be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. He's blind. There's other scriptures on blind. Can't see afar off. Forgotten that they was purged from their old sin. That's in 2 Peter also. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, what is the spiritual kingdom of God? Romans 14:17 said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Matthew 6:33 said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what kind of a picture do we have here? The prodigal son came home to Father's house, and he repented, and he got back what he lost. Here we find that Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he says, except, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there's no chance for a blind man to find it. You know, I'm talking about spiritually blind. So the eyes had to be opened. How's the eyes open? Through repentance. Repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, this is the redemptive plan of God. It's the plan of regeneration, that man can be regenerated and be as good as new. He's born again. How many knows when you hit the altar and you prayed and God saved your soul, then you have a new life. Things begin to come to you that you see things that you never seen before. You begin to open up the book here, and it's the looking glass that we look into. And James even said that it's like a looking glass. You know, it's like a glass, beholding ourselves in a glass. And we look into it and we can see the things that's wrong with us, and we can see the things that good also. And so we begin to work on our weak points, and then we begin to grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, how many's got the picture now? They're kicked out of the garden. Centuries has went by. Jesus has come. The Redeemer has come. The one that's going to redeem them is there. Now they're a new creature. creation and all this. And so now, let's go over and see how Paul explains it. In 2 Corinthians, I just want to get the book of the message over here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 18. Now look at it. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Chains were broken. Darkness had to flee. Instead of being bound, he got liberty. Now the Lord is that Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 18. But we all, how many knows that's all of us? That's me, that's you, that's everyone here, everyone in the whole world if they're accepted. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, we're looking in the book and seeing it, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How many got that? We all, with open face, beholding as in the glass, looking in the book, we can see ourselves. We all, with open face, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord. We see the glory of the Lord in this book. I don't know if you can or not. I can, and I'm persuaded you are seeing some of it. Are changed into the same image. Now what? We're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now what is that image that we change into? Huh? Who is the image? Jesus Christ. He's the image. We change into our image, into his image. How do we do that? From glory. One great experience to another, from glory to glory. Now, where does that put us when we're saved? We can go right back to the book of Genesis. Now, how did God create man to begin with? In his image. So man, when you're born again, is when you begin to start the journey home like the prodigal son did. He came to himself. I don't belong here. In my father's house, there's all kinds of food. And the servants has got better than I've got. I know what I'll do. I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And when he done that, immediately the father began to roll out the things. Here, you go get the best robe and put on the best robe. How many knows what the best robe is? I've studied the Bible out and I know what the best robe is. It's the robe of righteousness. And Paul said, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown. Imagine being crowned with a crown of righteousness. He said a crown of righteousness, but that's not all of it. Not for me and not me only, but for all them that love his appearing. Every one of us. If we live godly. I'll tell you, we're into some serious stuff now. But it says the ungodly are not so. Psalm. They don't get these things. The ungodly. In other words, the ungodly is them that's took on a different nature. Took on a different look. They can't see the kingdom of God. They're backslid. Their hearts are hard. Their spirit is cold. A certain amount of death has gripped a hold of them and is struggling them to die. That's the devil. That's the devil's job. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. Can you see how man got from heaven? Garden of Eden. It's a type of a heavenly place. And he got from there, got kicked out the gate. An angel with a flaming sword is put there at the gate to keep the way of the tree of life. No man can eat of it unless they're worthy. Unless they repented. That's what he's saying. Keep the way of the tree of life. So there he is. He's out there. And now he just keeps on going down, 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 down. How many knows that if sinner just keeps on going, he finally winds up in the hog pen? How many knows what a hog pen is? That's a nasty place. Huh? Especially would be of muddy weather, but there he is. I could see him in the hog pen, and he's so hungry he could eat the husk with the swine. Can you imagine God's son or son being in that kind of shape when everything is prepared for him back at Father's house? So that's where we're at right now. We need to teach people just what about all this. Now, So he comes back. Let's say he comes back. And here he's coming back. He's down that road home. And in the spiritual realm, what he does, he gets to the gate. There's an angel there with a flaming sword. How many knows what a flaming sword is? Our God is a consuming fire. So the angel is standing there with a flaming sword. And you know, the angel looks at him and says, "You may pass. I see the blood. I see your image has changed. You're no longer in sin. You may pass." So then, when he gets in there, he passes. Now he's not going to eat anymore of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He's not going to mix that anymore. What tree is he going to eat off of? Remember, the big tree's in there. It says that the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but then there's the tree of righteousness in the middle of the garden. It bears its fruit. It doesn't exactly say that word, but that's what it is. And it's not mixed up. And remember, God told him in the beginning, how many of the trees did he say he could eat of? He said you can eat of every tree. It's all good. But that one right there, you leave that alone. Huh? You know how people are. They just have to dabble, it seems like, a little bit with sin. I don't know why. If you tell them don't do something, they'll surely do it. My uncle, my dad, he didn't want my uncle telling that at all, but my uncle always told a story on my dad. Said they lived down in the holler. It was hard times, you know, in a big family of them. There was 13 children in my dad's family. That's why dad just had me. One. He had 12 other brothers and sisters. He had enough of them big families. But I guess that's maybe it, but I don't know if that's for sure. But said, Grandma got all the coals and the ashes out of the stove and put them in the yard. And she said to my dad, "Now, Charlie, don't get in them ashes. They'll burn you." And dad would always say, "Henry, don't tell that." And you know what dad done? Just as soon as she got in the house, he went splitting through them barefoot. Huh? Disobedience. Disobedience. You see, so he burned his feet, but he learned some knowledge. I don't imagine he ever did take his shoes off and run through the coals of fire again. You see, we learn through things that hurts us sometimes. But here we find God made man in his own image. In the image of God made he man, male and female. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish, over the fowl of the air." He was in charge that moveth upon the earth. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Now you can eat all that. Well, then what did Adam do? God said in chapter 2 and verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." He chose death rather than life. The prodigal son down in the hog pen chose life rather than death. It reversed it. Remember when we got saved, we reversed the verdict upon us. Death. And he gave us life instead of death. I'm glad that he's a just God. That he sees, and he will forgive us of our sin, and we just have to start eating right. Amen. We have to start walking right. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. As many as received him, gave him power to become the sons of God. He gives us power to become sons of God. Now, how many can make that connection there? Genesis chapter 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 18, and St. John chapter 3, you must be born again. Except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And except you be born of the water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. How many knows you don't want to just see the kingdom, we want to enter it? How many wants to enter in? That's what he said over in that scripture I read the other night. enter in to the joy of the Lord. Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into what? The joy of the Lord. I don't know why I go to churches and they look so sad. Huh? Do you? How many's ever been to churches just lately? The people look sad, solemn. Huh? I don't believe that's the way we ought to look. He said, enter in the joy of the Lord. We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to have joy. Nehemiah 8:10 said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that. Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that you might be able to fight with him, overcome him. Put on the whole armor of God. Use what you've got. David had a sling. That's all he had. That was good enough. He put a 9-foot giant down. That's pretty good fighting for a kid. Amen. It doesn't make any difference who we are, whether we're young, old, middle-aged, 15, 16, 20, 30, whatever age we are, we still have that power that works within us if we use it. And the more you use that, what happens to a car that you let sit around in an old field outside maybe someplace or other for about 10 years? What happens to it? You go out there and really start it right up. No. You probably have to overhaul it. Put everything new on it. And that's exactly what God does with us. He overhauls. All things become new. Old things are passed away. And all things become new. I didn't get time to have justice to minister on this, but there's a whole lot in there. But I wanted to make those three connections right there for us, that God created man in his image. That man sinned and God had to put him out of God. But he put something there he couldn't get back in without he had the password, so to speak. I believe the password was Jesus, blood. And anyway, he had a flaming sword and man couldn't get through there unless he had the password. So God, you know, the prodigal son, when he come home, it's the same kind of story. He had the password. You know what he said? I've sinned. That's the password. Against heaven and against you. He confessed his sin. That's been taught on all day here. I believe everybody ought to have that's been here today. He started out with it this morning and preached about an hour on, and then I preached on this about an hour, and then here tonight again. But to make those connections, it's all through the Bible. And when we get born again, we're ready to start marching home. That's what the prodigal son, his mind changed. He came to himself. He realized he wasn't no longer going out in these taverns and everything. He came to himself. I belong to my father. He owns a big farm up there. He has cattle. He has gold. He has silver. He has a robe of righteousness. He's got the shield of faith. He's got everything. All right, I'll go to my father. And he done the right thing. You know, if everybody in this whole world would just rise and go where they're supposed to go, the Father. How do we get to the Father? We have a mediator, Jesus Christ. We have one mediator, Jesus Christ. And he's the mediator between man and God. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We can pray and we can get an audience with God through Jesus Christ. But we always have to go, when we go to prayer, here's the way you pray. You don't pray to Jesus. You pray, in the name of Jesus, I come to you, Father. Because God is the Father. Jesus is the Son. And he's our big brother that's able to take care of every bit of our problems if we'll just let him.